if we start looking at the Village Mall from the outside, from the way we approach it, then we can understand a little bit better the messages and the articulation with the inside and the outside.
I like coming to the mall to blow up steam. Well, I worked out, I prayed, but the mall is also fun. So I come here and I just relax, and then I ended up buying stuff I didn't need but wanted.
It's a huge box that has a driveway that you come up to in the front. It's all glass and steel and very shiny, and it gives the appearance of having an elegant entrance for almost for a theater, and it is a theater of consumption.
I'm at Southdale Mall and I came to buy a homecoming dress. I found a homecoming dress and it's black with gold sequins and pink sequins. I come to Southdale like 2 times a month probably. I really like it. There's a lot of variety in stores and it's really nice.
The atmosphere is so comfortable. The atmosphere is enticing. The shops are well laid out. I think it compares to any mall. It compares to the Dubai malls. It compares to any mall anywhere in the world.
The international brands are Cartier, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany, Prada, Gucci store, and different names and unique names to the city.
A Louis Vuitton purse that would cost $500 in London will cost $1,000 here.
You're listening to It's a Mall World on the BBC World Service.
Welcome to Southdale Mall. The ride is about to begin. Please stand clear.
The shopping mall was absolutely the birth of the first stage of consumerism, let us say, the first stage of globalised consumerism. It's an astonishing statistic, but in 2012 there were 341 new shopping malls around the world, which is pretty much one a day. As consumerism spread around the world, as global capitalism was accepted as the dominant model, these homes for the globalised brands, which are largely American, started popping up all over the world. My name's Ewan Morrison, and I wrote a book called Tales from the Mall. Well, the mall began in America, and it was a fairly utopian idea to start with. There was a chap called Victor Grün, who was an architect from Austria originally. He famously came to America escaping persecution under the Nazis with only $1 in his pocket and no English. He was a socialist, though, and he was very concerned about the spread of strip malls in America. Strip malls are basically these long roads that stretch for miles and miles and miles where you've got shop after shop after shop after shop.
This is the last piece of remaining wall right here. So this bit of brick wall with these little vertical brick projections is the last piece of Victor Grün's original building that you can still see. My name is Tom Fisher, and I'm dean of the College of Design at the University of Minnesota. Well, Southdale was an idea generated by the Dayton brothers. They had a large department store in Minneapolis called Dayton's, and they saw the trend towards suburbanization after World War II. And thought that instead of people coming to downtowns to shop, that increasingly people would want to shop closer to home. And so they thought that if they were going to build something in the suburbs, it couldn't be what had been built before, which were shopping centers where people would drive up into a parking lot and walk along a walkway from one store to another outdoors.
They even brought tour buses. Remember that, Marcy? They'd bring tour buses to come and see Southdale. Remember?
Oh, no, I didn't remember that.
Yeah. It was just on the first and second floor. It was very small. My name's Mary Piper, and I live in Bloomington, which is not too far from here.
My name is Marcy Dillon.
Well, I remember when I first came to Southdale because it was the grand opening in 1956. And they had all sorts of prizes for us, and they had it all open, and it was very busy. And everybody was there, of course, because it was the first time you'd see that mall all under roof like this. Dayton's was here, and Anderson's was here, and there was a place called Bluebird. It was a little gift store. So everybody was really fascinated because they had never seen all these stores under one roof like this. It was charming. It was beautiful.
When we came here, it was the first enclosed mall I had ever seen. And I loved it because it was so enclosed that you could have everything inside. We had small children at that time, and I didn't want to take them out in the rain, so that was wonderful.
I remember when I first came to Southdale, there were a lot of different stores that are not here now. They had a butcher shop, they had a Woolworth store.
And so the model that became fairly widespread of having department stores at the ends of an enclosed pedestrian walk really started here in Southdale and was since copied really all over the world.
There are now 4,800 shopping malls in America, and the number around the world is about 10 to 15 times that size. So although he only designed these 50, it was the template that spread globally.
My name is Deborah, I'm from Brazil. I live in Rio, but I'm from Minas Gerais, that is another state here. I really like this mall. It's very different from everything in Rio, you know, because first of all, it's not full of people. That I really like that, and I'm worried about if it's gonna be like that or if just the beginning, you know. But for the girls, it's perfect because we have the parquinho, I don't know how do you call this, a place for kids here.
Well, the real message behind every shopping mall and behind global consumerism is that it's okay to be affluent, it's okay to be fashionable. In fact, it's a sign of status. Developing countries actually have a national interest, if you like, in keeping up with the Joneses, wearing the latest fashions, having the newest technologies.
For me, it's the best place to buy is here. It's a little more expensive because we have more quality, you know, and we have a very famous brand from all over the world here. So I really like that. For me, it's the best shopping now in Rio.
My name is Christopher Gaffney. I am a visiting professor in the Graduate School of Architecture and Urbanism at Rio's Federal Fluminense University. Current statistics indicate about 150 shopping malls in Brazil under construction today in 2013. It's anticipated that another 50 of those will come online before the World Cup, and then another 50 by the end of 2014. So we're seeing a huge expansion nationally in terms of shopping mall constructions, and they're called shoppings here. But in Barra da Tijuca, which is a landscape that is designed for the kind of shopping that you do in a mall, where you arrive by car, you park in a garage, you have a highly securitized environment, not only in the way you buy things, but also in the way you live. And so Barra da Tijuca has seen the expansion of this model more than any other region of Rio de Janeiro.
When the customer walks through the doors of Village Mall, we really want them to feel like they are walking on a sidewalk in a pleasant island where they can find everything they want and feel comfortable. My name is Gabriel Palumbo. I'm the general manager of Village Mall in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. This mall is, you know, all about details. We almost did this mall tailor-made. The idea about all the malls, all multi-plan malls, is to make people feel at home. So we introduced wood at the ceiling, we introduced a lot of different aspects like the couches and the chairs, so people can feel at home here. The layout of the mall, I would describe it as a curve, so you can see all the storefronts from any point of the mall, but the highlights are we have lights everywhere, sunlight, we have windows, glasses, and you can see the sky from any place.
Shopping at the Village Mall, saying you're going to the Village Mall, is also a status symbol. Well, when you talk about the brands that are present in shopping malls, you can also talk about them in the negative sense. You can talk about the brands that are absent in shopping malls. And what we see, particularly in the Village Mall, is the absence of Brazilian brands like C&A, Lojas Americanas, and the presence of Hugo Boss, the presence of Gucci, Louis Vuitton.
My husband, he's Danish. So we are always traveling to Denmark and coming back. So I have this that I can buy when I'm outside of the country. But when I want to buy something here in Brazil, I can't find something that it's made in Brazil that I really like it. So, but it's very expensive here.
The element that makes things so expensive here is the import tax. We have 100% tariff on all manufactured imported goods. And so a packet of batteries that would cost $3 in the United States would cost $6 here. A Louis Vuitton purse that would cost $500 in London will cost $1,000 here. And so this doubling of the price and then the markup on rent and commercial real estate in Rio is the most expensive in the Americas, more expensive than even Manhattan. All of these elements make these luxury imported items very, very expensive. The new middle class wants to distance themselves from the poor. The rising upper middle class wants to distance themselves from the middle class. And then the very wealthy, who used to be the only ones that could live in closed condominiums in Barra da Tijuca, are now the ones that are distancing themselves even more from everybody by going to these very exclusive malls and where they can afford to buy a $5,000 miniskirt.
You're listening to It's a Mall World on BBC World Service. Aspect to the mall now, and it's true of many malls, that has a Piranesi quality. Piranesi was an Italian renderer who drew visions of Rome that just went up and up and up and out and out and out. They were endless views with no end. And there's a quality of that when you walk into Southdale now, which is you just see vistas off and various floors and stores and walkways going off in various directions, and you can't ever see outside. So while there's daylight coming in, you don't really know where you are, and that's partly intentional. I mean, they don't actually really want you to leave. They want you to come in and see the next store and then the next store, and they don't necessarily want you to see the exit way. And so it's actually hard to find your way out. So there's a maze-like quality to Southdale, as is the case for many malls now. And they also, even though there's daylight, you can't find a clock. There is no telling time, because they don't, again, really want you to tell time. They want you to get lost in consumer heaven.
I didn't come to buy anything. I just ended up buying stuff. I come here and I just relax, and then I ended up buying stuff I didn't need but wanted. I think I got 4 dresses. Yes, I got 4 dresses. I hope I don't return them later and, you know, regret my buy, but it's stuff that I always wanted to buy, but I was trying to be smart about buying it. But since I'm not in the best mood and shopping is usually my out, so I just went ahead and bought it.
The width of this was basically gauged on the width of the streets of Vienna, as well as the height of the building is sort of patterned after the height of buildings in Vienna. And so Victor Gruen was trying to create this European feel, which of course in the United States and suburban America had a bit of the exotic to it. It was as if you actually could taste a bit of urbanism out in the suburbs. There are escalators going down to the lower level, and as we walk past the shoeshine box, which is the kind of thing that was originally in Southdale, kind of touching small businesses like this that still do survive in Southdale.
Johnson.
Hello, Dr. Ferris. How are you?
Good, good. Things work out all right?
Yes, I just got here and this young lady was waiting for me when I got here.
Oh.
So I'm just working on this pair of shoes right here and then I'm going to go to Men's Warehouse and pick up your two pairs.
Okay, now I'll go make a little purchase and then I'll come back.
Okay, sure.
All right.
My name is Arthur Johnson. I work at the King of Shines, which I also own. Just laying out my mat. This is kind of like the area that is kind of cordoned off for the shine stand. There. I've been here for 14 years. I opened June 14th, 1999. And I've been here ever since. Most people get their shoes shined. They don't like to be out in the open. They like to be kind of tucked away where they don't seem like they're putting on airs. So we picked a spot close to the door, close to underground parking, and close to the food court. And also, all the men's stores are located on the same wing of the mall that the shine stand is located. A lot of guys will use the shoe shine stand to take a break from their busy day. And the shoe shine is somewhat therapeutic because you actually are getting your feet massaged while the guy's working in the polish and the cream and conditioner. So you're getting a little foot massage as well as having your shoes kind of paid some attention to.
You're listening to It's a Mall World on the BBC World Service.
My name is Mayawa Adebola. I'm an engineer and I reside in Lagos. I'm at Ikeja City Mall, Lagos, Nigeria.
Now I'm about to walk into City Mall, but I have to drop my bag with the security. Hello.
Yeah.
I have to drop my bag because I'm not going to be allowed to go into the supermarket with my bag. I've dropped my bag and I have a tag to claim my bag back when I'm done shopping.
Everything is ample at the end of the day.
We are now in ShopRite. And I can tell you, this is the largest store in this mall. My neighbors that sell in small scale, in small shops near the house, they are beginning to lose customers. They've lost me because I always come here to shop. And many people don't know, things are actually cheaper in here. And you're guaranteed of good quality. We don't just come here to shop. We see this as fun, going out. So when coming to Ikeja City Mall to shop, it's more than I'm just going to buy something. I'm taking the family, we're coming here to have fun.
Okay, thank you, Jerry.
No,
okay.
My name is Malam Abdul Okwechime. I'm a Lagos-based businessman, Lagos, Nigeria. The Ikeja City Mall is a sprawling edifice. It is safe in terms of your cars. You can park, you can walk in and shop. The atmosphere is so comfortable. The atmosphere is enticing. The shops are well laid out. I think it compares to any mall anywhere in the world. It compares to the Dubai malls. It compares to any mall anywhere in the world. Yeah, some of these shops are foreign. Some are Nigerian 100%. Some are foreign, like the ShopRite itself, like the Nike, like Adidas, Wranglers. And they have the same product that they sell in those shops outside Nigeria that they have here in Nigeria. And you are buying here at very good prices.
I tell you, a few years back, nobody would think in Nigeria you'd be able to shop in an air-conditioned hall.
where people are well organized, see people on the queue trying to pay. Nobody is pushing off the other man. And in this mall, electricity doesn't go off. The things are well stocked. In the local shops, sometimes I buy frozen chicken, I buy frozen fish, and they are spoiled. Not necessarily the owner knows. The owner might not know. Maybe she's gone home and coming back the following day, she doesn't know that there was no power all through, and it's gone. So here, electricity is not an issue. It will not blink. I bet we can stay here for 1 week. It's not gonna blink. But my fear is the local people will run out of business. I feel so sorry for them.
You want food? What did you want?
I'm Inka. Inka Omotayo. I have a little store in Ojoju, Asafa Sweets. I sell wine, seaway, pampas, beverages, then provision and soft drink. Since Ikeda Chopping Mop has been there, some customers have been patronizing them. The Chopping Mop is lower. For example, like Golden Mop, we here selling it at 450. Chopping Mop is selling it at 425. So it's cheaper in Chopping Mop. I feel bad that they have taken our customers.
Which? Feu, Zabi?
I want to get this one.
La Casera?
Yes.
Well, as with all utopian plans, there tends to be unforeseen consequences that creep into people's otherwise good idea. What happened with Victor Grun's idea of the shopping mall? It was so successful, the suburban shopping mall, that it ended up gutting inner cities. What malls replace is your indigenous culture, all the small social things that go around shopping in a local area. You're really seeing a homogenization of world behaviours. Every shopping mall, I like to say, is like a portal into every other. You can enter a shopping mall in Glasgow and step out of a shopping mall in Kuala Lumpur and you've had exactly the same experience. You go back in the indoor and you end up in a shopping mall in China. It's almost like the TARDIS in that sense. The shopping malls are the same the world over, and that does start to pose a bit of a problem.
BBC World Service.
This month's BBC Africa debate comes from the UK for the first time.
The UK was and still is a popular migration destination. Many Africans dream of living and working here. Thousands die trying to make it.
But immigration rules are tightening and attitudes are toughening towards those who want to come.
We'll be in Slough exploring British immigration policy and how it affects African communities.
How welcome are Africans in the UK today? What impact will harder visa rules have on the army of African workers coming to the UK, the hospitals they run, and the business they bring?
What about the effect on family life if partners and children are left behind? Join me, Akwesi Sapong.
And me, Mark Easton, on the BBC Africa debate.
Online at bbcworldservice.com.
Coming up after the news on BBC World Service, it's a mall world.
Well, the real message behind every shopping mall and behind global consumerism is that it's okay to be affluent, it's okay to be fashionable. In fact, it's a sign of status. Developing countries actually have a national interest, if you like, in keeping up with the Joneses.
What has happened in Kenya should be a wake-up call to Nigeria securities.
That's It's a Mall World on the BBC World Service after the news.
BBC News with Mike Cooper.
Police in Ukraine have forcibly broken up a demonstration in Kiev against the government's refusal to sign a partnership deal with the European Union. Witnesses said dozens were hurt when police used batons and tear gas to disperse hundreds of protesters in the early hours of the morning. The US ambassador in Ukraine condemned what he described as the violence against peaceful demonstrators. The US has advised its commercial airlines to comply with China's demand to be notified of flights passing through its recently declared air defense zone. The State Department said carriers should inform China of flights for safety reasons, but that this did not mean the US recognized the zone. Firefighters have worked through the night in the Scottish city of Glasgow to rescue people trapped after a police helicopter crashed through the roof of a pub. At least three people were killed and 32 have been taken to hospital. There were said to have been about 120 people in the building at the time of the crash. North Korea says an elderly American tourist who was detained last month has confessed to carrying out hostile acts against the state and to ordering the deaths of civilians during the Korean War. Merrill Newman, who's 85, was taken off a plane at Pyongyang's international airport as he was due to leave the country. A search is underway in Namibia for a Mozambique Airlines plane with 34 people on board that disappeared on a flight from Mozambique to Angola on Friday. Police said villagers in the northeast region of Kavango had heard explosions. The Chinese authorities say they're preparing to question an agent of the leading film director, Zhang Yimou, over whether Mr. Zhang broke the country's strict family planning laws. Mr. Zhang, who directed the spectacular opening ceremony of the Beijing Olympics, is alleged to have fathered seven children with four women. Most urban couples in China are allowed just one child. If the allegations are true, Mr. Zhang could face a multi-million dollar fine. BBC News.
Meu nome é Anderson Luiz, moro em Campo Grande. Eu sou um manobrista, um representante do Village Mall.
My name is Anderson Luiz, and I live in Campo Grande. I am a valet parker here at Village Mall. Today I started work at 11 in the morning. It's 7 p.m. now, and I have worked here about 4 months. So I work from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Nós trabalhamos com serviço.
We work in the VIP valet service, where the client arrives, leaves their vehicle with us valets, where we drive the car into an appropriate space in the sector to park, and the car stays here securely.
It's important to say that here at Village Mall we gather all the upper classes in Rio.
All models of vehicles come into the VIP valet. Land Rover, BMW, Mercedes, Lamborghini, Carmago, Porsche and Ferrari. These are the types of cars that mostly stop on this floor. I feel my dreams have come true, being able to drive some of these cars. To have had the possibility to drive these cars that I would never have had if I wasn't working here as a valet at Village Mall. I feel I've accomplished something, being able to drive a lot of very cool cars here. Who doesn't have a dream to have a Ferrari?
Não é verdade?
The great dilemma of Brazil is reflected in places like the Village Mall, where you have the extremely wealthy, the global elite, the top 1% of 1% of all moneymakers in the world, going to the Village Mall, where they're attended by people who make Brazilian minimum wage.
We are at the very neat place here in Village Mall. We are at the VIP lounge, the house of our VIP program, which is the Village Important Person. This place is special because it's the place where we receive the best clients of the mall and we kind of spoil them. When you are at the mall, you got to be seen and you got to see.
Boa tarde, você já aceita café ou uma água?
Não, obrigada.
Disponha, bem-vindo ao Village Mall.
My name is Ana Cláudia, and I work as a hostess here in Village Mall. Clients come to leave their car in the parking, the attendant takes the car, and when a client enters, I have to greet them with good afternoon, good evening, or good morning, depending on what time it is. And after I say this, I automatically offer them a water or a coffee. I have been in the VIP area for 15 days. They put me here to do the work one day, and I liked it. It was really good for my self-esteem, because we need to look tidy here, in the rest of the shopping as well, but even more here. Wear makeup, have our hair tied back, have our uniform properly clean and ironed, and I liked it.
My name is Christopher Gaffney. I am a visiting professor in the Graduate School of Architecture and Urbanism at Rio's Federal Fluminense University. The economic hierarchies of Brazil are not only reflected in what happens inside the Village Mall, they're crystallized and codified, reaffirmed, and then the space of the mall itself radiates those messages of exclusivity and private consumption to anyone that passes by. The other group that's in there are meant to be invisible, the cleaners, the workers, and they don't drive there. They enter on foot, they take public transportation. And so you have these two worlds interacting. One depends on the other. It's an unbalanced relationship in the same way that the city is unbalanced. And so those who can't afford to go to a shopping mall to do their shopping have to circulate within the insecurity of the city in general.
Here is the main road where I get the van from Nova Sepetiba to Santa Cruz to get the BRT for Village Mall. I get here at 20 past 8, leave the house at 8 o'clock. It takes 20 minutes to get here. In total, it takes 2.5 to 3 hours to get from Nova Sepetiba, where I live, to Village Mall, where I work. This is my house. It's made of wood, planks of wood, as you can see. One placed on the top of the other, wood on wood. And if I bang it, my neighbor can hear it. The door is made of a plank of wood. It's all from wood. But I have made the best of it. I found an old carpet in the rubbish near the shopping mall, the blue one that you can see here, and cut some old curtain material just to disguise our poor life a little, you know. There are 165 shacks here, about 500 to 600 people. Every family has a shack. There is one woman here and her husband. They have 7 children. In my shack, there is just me and my 4 children. There is my sister and her husband and 4 children next door. We have to go to the toilet in a bucket. I take the bucket to the bedroom because in there is more privacy. Afterwards, we throw it away in the drain outside.
You're listening to It's a Mall World on the BBC World Service.
Beneath the mall, it's a nice place. Upstairs to my right, I'm seeing the cinema, I'm seeing the escalator with lots of kids enjoying themselves with parents, young men, women, old, locals, foreigners, the Africans, Asians. This is wonderful. It's a beautiful mall. I bet you want to see Ikeja City Mall.
As an artist, coming down here is like a point of contact to meet the right people, because it's like the right place where you find right people, you know. Thank God. It's just like a foreign trip in Nigeria, because normally some people need to travel before they can see this kind of environment. We have it here, so you can just enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah, my name is Bruno Oaikina. I own Bruno's Place. Bruno's Place is in Kaja City Mall. Well, the mall usually open 9 o'clock. Before the mall opens, a lot of people are already waiting for them to move into the mall. We don't close till around 1, 2, 3. There are times that I have to leave here for 1 a.m. just because I want to satisfy a customer. This is the first salon in the mall. You know, nobody ever thought a salon would work in the mall. I can't remember the idea of salon in the mall because while I was doing other salon, the major challenge was power. Because in this business, you need power. You know, you need, even if you have a brand new generator, you know, you still have to think about, you know, the servicing, you have to deal with the mechanics and all that.
Hi, my name is Michelle Isakalo. I come to the mall to either watch movies, shop, and basically to get my hair and my nails done. Bruno's Place is actually a very cool place to be. It's a cool salon. You come, get your hair done. They treat you nicely, they treat you well.
We have a process flow. We have the men, you know, do the finishing and the styling. Usually, the men are faster. And the men, they don't understand the women more than the female. So they take their time to do the hair. So we want the men to bring out the beauty, because it's actually the men that will see the beauty in the female, and he knows how to bring it out. What I'm doing here is something different. There's a salon. There's a photography going on here. There is a product session going on here. There's a facial going on here. And you know, looking good is good business, you know.
You are listening to It's a Mall World on BBC World Service.
My name is Vitor Fonseca. I am a security supervisor here at Village Mall. I arrive here at 6:45 in the morning, then we start our routine to open the mall. At 7 a.m. there is the first shift of security guards. They start at 7 a.m. in the morning to take over from the others who leave at 7 a.m. There are 5 security guards, 2 motorbike security guards and a doorman. We place them in the most vulnerable places so no one can access the mall.
I believe there's a tendency in Brazil in general to react negatively to urban violence, and that is to say that instead of looking for solutions to the problem, that people hide themselves behind walls. And so the shopping mall is the anti-urban. It's a negation of the public. It's a negation of free circulation. And the only people that are allowed to be in there in a certain capacity as consumer are those who meet the criteria of dressing well or driving in or having credit cards or looking like they're doing something useful for the shopping mall, which is buying things.
Twenty-four hours a day, there is someone in the mall. I think from the moment people come into the Village Mall, they feel secure because of the structure of the security, outside and inside. It is rare these days in Rio to have 7 armed guards outside a shopping mall and 4 security staff on motorbikes. So the client looks at the armed guard on the door and already feels very safe.
The problem with the shopping mall is the negation of everybody else. You take all these urban elements into the shopping mall, meaning that you eliminate them to some degree in the real world.
Upstairs in level 3, the open area, have you seen the view there? It's beautiful. Sometimes when I was working there, which I did about 4 times, I would run to see the view because it's a really beautiful view. I would take photos to show to people in the community where I live because no one has the money to come here. I take a photo of me in my uniform. Look how chic it is. I'm dazzled. This is really another world. I dream when I go to level one and see the sofa. I dream one day I could have a house with a sofa like that, because it's so beautiful. I think about bringing my children here, but I'm afraid they will become so dazzled by it all, by the beauty of this shopping mall. I'm worried if my son of six sees the water with the fish, he will want to take a fish home. They've never seen anything like this, where you can't take the fish. But I will bring them here so they can see it, because it's beautiful. The bathroom people, you put your hand out and soap comes out automatically. It's beautiful. Sometimes I just go in the bathroom to put my hand there.
Usually bring stuff for birthdays too. You bring treats for birthdays.
Treats,
yeah.
Tomorrow I'm gonna bring a zucchini chocolate cake.
Oh, are you?
Hot dog. God. I was gonna bring it today, but I didn't know how many would be here. Are you gonna be here tomorrow?
My name is Richard Piper. Yeah, I've been coming here since 1956 when they opened the mall. I've been walking probably since 1986. That's when I retired.
My name's Ewan Morrison, and I wrote a book called Tales from the Mall. Because of their design and where they're placed, and the fact that they've got largely car access only, it turns out that shopping malls are a kind of safe haven from the urban poor who don't have car access. And this is actually very deliberate. This has some positive aspects, though, for the middle class, because the middle class feel that they are safe within the shopping mall, which leads to some unique and curious middle class behaviours, like, for example, geriatrics who go to malls to walk around and keep fit, the phenomenon known as mall walkers, which is very big in the USA and spreading around the world.
I think their muffins are that good. They have a roll that's not bad, though. But yeah. No, that's what we do and bring. I bring my coffee because I don't like their coffee.
Everybody comes to the mall. We come separately, and we walk usually separately. And then at about 9:20, we come up to the eating area and have our coffee. We walk 25 minutes and drink coffee for an hour and a quarter.
I tell Carol, we're here to get exercise, not to talk. Exercise first and then talk. How's not talk out? First and exercise.
How's it work out for you?
Not real well.
We're exercising our jaw bones.
Our jaw bones and our eyes. I move my eyes a lot.
And your tongue.
And my
yeah.
Oh yes,
that's
my
a
tongue.
My name is Gene Briston. I'm the owner of Dance with Us America. We're located here on the lower level of Southdale Mall in Edina, Minnesota. Dance with Us America is a ballroom and Latin dance studio, so we specialize in partner dancing, like the cha-cha-cha, waltz, tango, salsa, samba, mambo, jive. Basically anything you would see on Dancing with the Stars, we do it here right now. We opened here in this mall about 3 years ago, and we love it. There was a few hard times in the mall when they've been renovating, but it's all for the better because the mall looks great now, and we really enjoy being here.
My name is Tom Fisher, and I'm Dean of the College of Design at the University of Minnesota. Well, Southdale has gone through many incarnations. It was repeatedly expanded, and then there came a period where there was the rise of so-called lifestyle centers. Interestingly enough, people started to want to be shopping outside again, even in a relatively cold climate like Minnesota. And so there's a part of Southdale that now has shops facing outward, not inward to the climate-controlled mall. And it has been renovated many times. In fact, it just was recently renovated. And I think a couple things have happened. One, of course, it's got the largest mall in the United States just down the street. So it has a very big competitor. So it went from being the mall that everyone went to see to being more of a regional, a local and regional mall, because the tourist attraction shifted over to the Mall of America down the road. And in that sense, it struggled. However, I think its owners have always recognized the fact that this was the first one in the world and have felt a certain obligation to reinvest in it. And I think that it seems to be doing rather well. We've certainly seen the phenomenon that, particularly in communities that have had some economic struggles, that malls have closed. So this idea of the dead mall is something that we're increasingly encountering. And so on one hand, we're watching malls die, and on the other hand, we're watching them expand.
For the last year, I've been coming here like at least 4 or 5 times a week to work. And it blew me away first when I first came in here. I was kind of like, I looked through the gate and I was like, it's a nice space kind of out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a mall, right? And then since then, I kind of paid attention to the people that I walk by during business hours and everything. And it's crazy. They got like a TV outside constantly like playing a loop of the world championships, you know, so, and everybody that comes down this escalator and everybody that walks by up there is like, what's happening down in there? And if you accidentally play the music a little too loud in there, people stop all the time and watch what you're doing. And I think that's a great opportunity for these guys to have all the people coming through here stop, look at it. They see the classes, they see the private lessons, they see the owners practicing for their competition routines and everything, and some jaw-dropping stuff sometimes.
You're listening to it, it's a mom.
Jim, don't you dare do it like that.
You're listening to It's a Mall World on the BBC World Service.
Hello, good evening. My name is Flora. I'm talking on behalf of Viejos Cafe. We have a whole lot of fun in the house. We have our karaoke night. We have our day-to-night jobs, yeah. We have our live band from Fridays to Sundays. It's a place whereby we think a whole lot of people find it hard to go out there and hang out in a place that there's no security. And we feel the mall is a bit secure for people to sit and have fun at night. If you have like 2,000 naira, you have your fun all night and you'll be fine.
The place is cool, no fighting, no rough guys, and we love the social people around there, different kind of men from different locations, because it's a very lovely hangout place to be. And secondly, why I like being here, it's all about 2-3 months I've been here. I've never seen anything like gunshot or anything like that happening here. I've never seen it, which happened in different clubs.
The attack on the Westgate Mall in Kenya is a thing of concern for everyone who visits a shopping mall in Nigeria. What has happened in Kenya should be a wake-up call to Nigeria securities.
We've recently witnessed the horrific tragedy at Westgate Mall in Kenya, and it seems to have come absolutely out of the blue. But if you look back through the fictional history of shopping malls, you find that, at least in the subconscious mind of the West, malls and violence have been associated with each other for a long time. You go back to the zombie movie Dawn of the Dead and hundreds of zombies trying to take over a shopping mall. And then you've got a book called Kingdom Come by J.G. Ballard, a future depiction of a shopping mall as the sort of centre of society, which is then taken over by terrorists. So there's been a kind of lurking danger around these large retail displays, these displays of American affluence. And I think we're seeing that coming to a head now with the spread of shopping malls throughout the third world.
I'm much concerned about the security because of the bombing of the mall in Kenya. The security should be fortified now, both for cars and the individual. They should screen people.
It makes you think, though, about the name of the mall in Kenya, which is Westgate. In a sense, it is a gate to the West, and the sheer number of Westgate shopping malls all over the world, because it's a very common name, does seem to sort of imply that shopping malls don't really kind of belong in the places in which they end up. They are kind of portals, if you like, to a globalized Western culture. You enter the West Gate. I think people in third world countries understand this, that in a sense shopping malls are maybe colonizing their soil. You leave the poverty, you enter the West Gate, and you enter a globalized world of affluence, which is, you know, above and different to the poverty that surrounds it.
Para mim que não tenho nenhum, isso aqui é um luxo, é até, sei lá, falar, fico assim, sem palavras, assim.
For me, who doesn't have a bathroom, this is a luxury, you know. I'm a little bit lost for words. I can't wait to come to work to use the bathroom, a toilet that flushes on its own. I don't have to worry. These taps, when you put your hand under soap and water comes out on its own. Look at how the soap comes out, the exact amount you need.
Tem noção disso aqui? Eu não queria assim, esse luxo todo.
I don't want all this luxury, not that I don't deserve it, but I just want dignity, a bathroom for my children to use. It doesn't need to be like these taps, just something to give me dignity. I don't know, if I could live in this bathroom, I would. Have you seen the flush? Look, it does it automatically. You don't even have to pull a chain or throw a bucket down there.
I think the new idea that Southdale represented was that it was not in a city, that it went out literally at the time it was built out into farms before the city had even grown up around it. And the idea there was to basically create a small version of the downtown. So Victor Gruen not only wanted Southdale to be there, but he called for housing, offices, medical care. He envisioned them all being connected so that you could walk among all of these. Some of that got built, a lot of it didn't. And here we are 60, 70 years later, finally building out some of Victor Gruen's original vision for Southdale.
Come see the King of Shines at Southdale Mall, best shine in town.
But the reason we come here is the Okinawans live to such an elderly age, and they said it's because they come to get together and socialize, so that's what we're trying to do.
I think the social aspect is important, especially if you're a widow or a widower.
Yeah.
It gives you a reason to get up in the morning for one thing.
That's true.
It's a Mall World was produced by Gemma Newby and was a Like It Is production for the BBC World Service.